The Carle Center for Rural Health and Farm Safety, a division of Carle Foundation Hospital, is proud to underwrite agricultural programming at WILL. The center helps residents of rural communities with education and training in farm safety. For more information, call 217-383-4606.
This is Morning Edition on AM 580, and it's time now for our opening commodity market report with Dave Dickey. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning, Dan, and good Friday morning, everyone. Let's check how prices fared in the resumption of trading. We gave the overnight opens at 8:49. In Kansas City, December wheat opened at 5:05, up a half on the open. March 5:16, up 3. At the Board of Trade, December wheat opened at 4:75, up 12 on the open. March 4:85, up 7.5. May 4:77, down 2. July 4:72, down 2. September 4:72, down 3. December corn opened at 2:72.25, up a half on the open. March 2:83.5, up a quarter. May 2:91.5, up a half. July 2:98.5, up a quarter. September 3:01, unchanged. Your red line December 3:07.5, down 1.25 on the open. December oats opened at 2:13, down a quarter on the open. March 2:19.5, down a half. November beans opened at 5:65, down a half on the open. January 5:78.5, down 1.5. March 5:90, up a quarter. May 5:97.5, down a half. July 6:07, down 1.5. Red line November 6:20.5, down 3 on the open. October soybean meal opened at 1:67, down 3:30 on the open. And December opened at 1:69, down 60 on the open. October soybean oil opened at 23.85, up 3 on the open. December 24.07, up 1. At the Merck October feeders, opened at 113.50, up 5 on the open. October live cattle opened at 91.35, unchanged. October lean hogs opened at 65.45, up 10. And February pork bellies opened at 92, up 7.5 on the open.
Today's broadcast is made possible with support from First Midwest Bank, serving the banking needs of Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Mike Zuzulo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dave.
Before we get to some particulars about the trading action this week, I want to look forward with you because we do have a crop production report next Thursday, and ask you, in your mindset, what are the implications for that report in terms of buying back 06 corn?
Our mindset, probably at this point, Dave, with the wheat being the strong leader to the corn run-up, would be, let's see if we can't get a pullback here. We wrote about 7 or 8 days ago, maybe a little longer than that, that we wanted to give the first half of October a chance for a corn pullback. It's done no such thing so far, but we still feel like the factors are still available to us and there that could allow for a pullback if the wheat would decide to cool its jets a little bit. So we've got the harvest opening up here with the change in weather forecast yet again this week. We've got a substantial, you know, Informa number that came in over 11 billion bushels, and that seemed to really kind of bring the market back to reality a little bit yesterday. And We've got pretty good yields being reported out there, and so there's quite a few things out there that we would say, we're going to take a break and not re-own any 06 bushels. Instead, we're going to go ahead and keep scale-up selling to 280, 285 D's futures and be about out of 06 and then look at re-owning if we don't get a pullback here in the short term.
What would happen if USDA's report showed a smaller wheat carryover and or corn carryover?
Well, if it came in either, you know, worldwide, especially because the trade has got priced in some Australian reduction already from earlier this week and the frost that may have hit some of the wheat belt in Australia. So if we got a world wheat figure that was more than 3 million tons less than what the USDA came out in September, if we got a corn carryover in the United States that would take us below 1.2 billion, That would give us the need to go ahead and re-own wheat immediately and then look at corn to re-own right after that. But that's how we're kind of playing this market, is that if we don't have these things stacking up against the corn come to fruition, and then USDA comes out with a poorer crop than expected, and they actually don't give us a yield increase and don't change the harvested acres to make the production figure stay above 11 billion bushels, we suspect the trade's really going to react to that, because there are still a lot of folks in the corn pits especially that are on the sidelines wanting to buy this market on a break.
All right, let's go ahead and look at the particulars today and this week. It's been a volatile trade in the wheat market. New contract highs set numerous times this week. The current high, I believe, 287 off yesterday's trade, went all the way up there before backing off 23 cents off the high to finish just slightly above the highs that were set back, I believe, in what?
Probably May 23rd.
May 23rd,
yeah. That was at 463 high in December futures, right.
So I noticed that this market is becoming inverse. I noticed that it seems to be impacting wheat and corn spreads. I noticed that the carry in corn in the deferred contracts is narrowing somewhat. What does all this imply to you as someone who has to manage risk?
Sure. In the big picture, it says the market's doing what it's supposed to do in terms of the wheat especially. There are some extra things going on in the December-July wheat spread in particular. We can go into detail if we have time, but the biggest issue right now is the trade is telling the commercials that have been sitting on wheat that had a 30-cent carry between December and July futures to go ahead and get that wheat moved, because they're going to get penalized for holding wheat now because the price in the back end is going down, the price in the front end is going up, and so they're losing all of their storage and interest money that they thought they had, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, and we're going to keep having. So the function of the market is get your wheat moved. And if you're in Toledo, if you're in the interior, it seems like from Toledo on down to Cincinnati is where a lot of the wheat sits. And that area right there sounds like it's really controlling and playing havoc with Indiana and eastern Illinois basis. And then you go over to the Springfield, Illinois area, and they've got quite a bit of wheat over there, and that's impacting. In the Princeton area, too, that's impacting the basis in the central part of Illinois. So we need both sides of the rivers, the Ohio and the Illinois, to move that wheat now, and the market's telling the commercials to go ahead and do that. So that should clean that up, and we would be looking then for the commercials to move that wheat and then the basis after that to start to come up for producers. In other words, in another week or two, if this inversion continues, because you've got March, May, and July futures all at the same price or less as you go out, like you point out, then you would theoretically say, okay, then basis needs to start coming up after that wheat moves out of the interior elevator and gets on down the Mississippi to the Gulf.
How does what's going on in Australia play into this with ideas that many producers might have to lift their hedges?
Well, that's the biggie right there from a standpoint of what gets us to another 1995, 1996 market. As we would say it, what would allow us to put a 5 in front of the price of front-end wheat and not scare the longs out and say this thing's gone to where it was in early 1996. That is directly related to Australia, the competing world stocks that we have out there for people that like to ship against us. If Australia has under a 10 million metric ton crop, then you're looking at an Asian rim that cannot be fed, Dave. And so then you're opening up the door where, like in 1995, 96, the commercials physically came in and bought the board at the Board of Trade, because they could not get a hold of the wheat to meet the demand. So that would be the second step. After the wheat moves down out of the interior into the Gulf, the basis comes up in the interior. The next step then would be, if history repeats itself like 95, 96, and we go up to that $5.85, $6 level, not up to $7.50. We're not promoting that at all right now. But if we were going to take another dollar up in the wheat contracts, then that would have to be commercial buying led.
I want to turn my attention to the corn pit and talk about a little bit about whether or not corn has detached itself from wheat. Certainly, some of the strength in corn we have seen this fall has been brought on by the prices and the rally in the wheat pit. But I don't think you have to go any further than the last 2 days of trade to suggest that maybe corn is detaching itself.
It's trying to, and that goes back to the wheat-corn spread. The lead month wheat-corn spread has gone above its 1996 high of 209. It actually hit 210 premium yesterday, closed back below that, but that's a 24-year high, and you have to go back to the early 70s to beat that price, and so you're literally tapping the far as being able to take the corn higher, unless you're going to call this brand new globalized trade, fund-led trade, and you're going to take the spread to places that we've never seen before. And that's what's going on in the wheat pit right now. There's quite a few traders with big positions that are short December and long July. And over the course of the last week, they have been squeezed very, very badly. And there's a lot of price, not manipulation there, but it's kind of a false price action there, Dave, because that those traders are literally trapped right now. From what we're hearing, they can't get out of their positions, and that's why DEIS is up 5 and July is down 10 right now. So we have to let that work out in the short term. Our contacts would say you're going to have this market play itself out the next couple of days, and then wheat will be cleaned out again. But getting back to corn, if the wheat decides the market trend and DEIS corn has a cycle low coming in, we project around 10-15. If the wheat doesn't want to go up anymore, then we would be sideways to down and correct the stochastics as we head into the report. That would be probably the preferred, the overbought stochastics. Everything would line up then, like we talked about earlier. Then we'd have a good, solid market and footing to be able to buy the weakness on.
Thank you much, Mike.
Thanks, Dave.
Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature.
You're listening to WILL Urbana.